Continuing on, so the wicked angels, like wicked mankind, will ultimately be consigned to the lake of fire to experience God's wrath, anger, and despising of wicked beings. There'll be no grace or mercy or pity for those in hell. They will experience the consuming fire of judgment and total disregard of God. That's the wrath of God. And we're getting back when Lucifer and them left their estates to get something better, their appointed positions. Remember, Job tells us a little bit, the book of Job, that the angels, the sons of God, they were called too, they presented themselves at certain times before the Lord Jehovah. And it says, and the devil came with them. And so his domain now is on the earth. He's given certain rights. And when he comes up before the Lord asks him questions. What have you been doing? And he said, roaming throughout, back and forth. And God said, well, have you considered my servant Job? But the point is, even angels that were given certain places, it seemed like they give an account at times. They come and speak to the Lord about these things. So he's given us human terms that we can understand. But the devil's capable of doing that when these other angels of high rank come up. He comes with them, and God can ask him questions. And God knows what he's doing. And his appointed estate is here on earth because God's not ready to judge him yet. And he's going to use him to refine the saints and gain glory for himself before he's ultimately cast into the lake of fire. So judgment's already pronounced on him at the cross, but the sentence has not been carried out. So he still roams the earthly sky and earth. That's part of his domain. He's called the God of this world, of the political, religious structures, much of that. Most of that is run by the devil. It's not run by God. God can override it, but it's wicked man and the world that wants to run things like they want to. They do not submit to the will of God. So he's called the God of this world. That is his domain that God's appointed to him temporarily until he deals with everything. So we see then, getting back to Paul, he's saying, I live this way, and God delivered me in my troubles, or he delivered them out of my troubles. He didn't allow me to be overwhelmed and given more than I can bear. So that's why the wicked and people who come to the Lord without excuse. We're given grace. We're given weapons. We're given virtues. We're given help by the Holy Spirit to live this life, this probation. So those who fail to do it, they fail to use what God has given them, as the man did with his one talent. He was given an ability at a certain amount, and then it was expressed as money. And the master king said, I'm going to go off, and when I come back, I want to see some fruit of this. I want to see an increase. And all the other ones he gave it to, they brought forth increases. But the one with the one talent, he buried it, and he judged God harshly, and he said, well, I'll at least give it back to him, and then I won't have to have any problems. Well, the Lord, the master called him a wicked servant, and he said, you knew I would expect an increase, so that alone judges you. You should have produced something. You should have given it to the bankers, and at the minimum, I would have got my interest, my money back, and interest. And he said, now take that talent from him and give it to the one that has 10 and cast him into outer darkness. See, he was proven to be unfruitful, unprofitable, but he was given money or stuff. He didn't have to get that and work for that. He was just simply saying, use it and bring some kind of increase. So he expects fruitfulness. And like Jesus said, those that refuse or don't bear fruit, the Father cuts them off after a while. He expects fruitfulness. He expects spiritual works and obedience. And if he don't get it, a judgment will come because of what he expects. Stewardship, and you belong to me, and I don't require you to do anything that I don't give you the grace and the ability to do with my help. So they're going to be unexcusable, these people. Verse 12. Now he says, indeed, because we're just talking about his own sufferings, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's a wonderful known scripture that most people like to forget. They hope and avoid all of these things. True Christianity cannot. We have three enemies, basically. We have the devil, represented by his demons, the world system of worldly people, who Jesus said will hate you, and we know the demons hate us, but the world system, he said, as they hated me, they'll hate you. That's the general, if you are living a true Christian life. And then we have the old corrupt nature within us that tries to get us back into that world, and the devil and the world draw on that and want us to go back and yield to the corrupt flesh and the desires that it wants. So we have this warfare manifested in those three forms. And if you live godly in Christ, then they're going to come against you. You may not be openly persecuted, but I don't care where you go and what you do, demons are going to follow you if you're a Christian. They're going to see to it to stir up your flesh. If they don't send someone to try to persecute them, they'll torment you in your own life and tempt you, and you have to walk close to God and fight these things and resist them. So he says, all who desire to live godly will suffer opposition, because the world, the flesh, and the devil don't like it, okay? Because it convicts them and judges them and disturbs them. So it is true, the Christian that desires to live godly, he wants to be righteous and holy to please the Lord. The world of sinners and devils don't like that. And that's hate means despise or come against. So when the true gospel is presented, or people live godly lives, people in the world don't like that. It makes them uncomfortable. It draws attention that they are not holy. And so they want to stop the messenger. They want everybody else to say, look, we're okay. We don't need this fanatic. In the end times now that we're entering, most professing denominations and churches have cast out the real Christians. They're of the world. The devil runs most of them. They don't want to be right. They want you live, I live. God loves us all no matter what we do. Well, in the early church, you persisted in gross sin. If you did not repent, they threw you out. They did not have fellowship with you. Well, people think, oh, that's horrible. Well, that's supposed to be done. And that's God's attitude. So a lot of these church buildings, and their master is the devil. He comes as an angel of light, doesn't he? He appears to be all good. You know, he has many kinds of religions. And the true Christian, it said the people, Jesus said the time will come, they'll kill you and think they're doing God a favor. Well, we know over the centuries, the Catholic Church did that to anybody who wouldn't convert. Then the Protestants did the same thing and fought to kill the Catholics. And, they had religion, but they didn't really have the Lord. They didn't live for the Lord because the fruits of righteousness and love were not in them. Their works revealed what was in them. So we're going to be dealt with by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Some people think, well, if I just stay and pray, well, that's wonderful. If you have the ministry of intercession, but I, from my own experience and talking to others, you come under demonic attack. Sometimes it's worse than a physical separation or people telling you off and say, you religious nut, we don't have enough to do with you. Some countries, they may smack you or beat you and get away with it. But the devil will see that you get trouble if you try to live for the Lord, because he didn't like it himself. So again, that is a not it might be, or if it, or it can, it's going to be those who desire to live will be persecuted. Didn't say they might, says they will. Your lifestyle will stir up evil. They don't like it, okay? We're supposed to be a light, and some people don't want the light. As Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light, and they will not come to the light lest their sins be reproved. So they don't, the more wicked they are and the more of the world they are, the less they want to be around godly people. They don't want that light exposed in them that they don't live right and their life is not acceptable because they want the world. And that's why the world loves its own. You're okay, I'm okay, let's have a party. Let's not, of course, they're hypocrites and they fight each other and hate each other anyway because of greed and covetousness and all kinds of problems. So they're basically hypocrites while they're doing this. So the world governments and religion are controlled by the prince of darkness. I hate to tell you, it upsets you, but the United States of America is not a Christian nation. There are no Christian nations. The only Christian nation is Christians. We are a nation and a priesthood to the Lord. Nations may live by biblical principles and try to keep them and have morally good laws to maintain, but they're not Christian. See, that's a fallacy. So for God and country isn't necessarily scriptural, okay? If you love your country more than you do the Lord, you're an idolater. And many people and soldiers died for their country, and they went to hell. They didn't die for the Lord. They died for their country. Okay. So we are pilgrims and ambassadors in an evil world. And just because one is not outwardly being attacked by the devil and the world, yet one will fight and warfare with his own nature. We know that. That's the fallen nature. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lusts. That's the corrupt nature. And enticed. The demons set us up at times. If we play with the flesh, they will accommodate us. We start yielding to the various temptations. They can bring more along or more exciting ones. And you'll see that people get bound by various sins that didn't start off. Proverbs says sin is like a cord. It's like a kite string someone wipes around you. Well, three or four or five times you can bust loose. But when it's 100 times, you're not going to get loose. So sin binds and holds if it's played with. Okay? So we as Christians, we have to resist evil, temptations, the desires of the old nature. Paul uses the word put off the old nature, deny its desires to be done. So we evidently have the ability to yield or not yield. Our will determines everything. The new man, we can yield to Christ in us and the new man, or we can yield to the impulses of the flesh and the temptations of the world and the devil. Our free will before God is not tampered with. Otherwise, he could not bring us into judgment. Judgment shows accountability and stewardship and giving an account. Well, if you don't know certain things, even scripture says where there is no sin, the law is not imputed. He deals it from a lesser level. So those who don't have the gospel, until they get the gospel, God will judge them according to their conscience, what their conscience has done and what it's yielded to, what it has defiled. He's just in all these things. And then when you're given the higher laws and the gospel, it supersedes it. And you're held more accountable, the more light and truth that a person has. Okay, so fallen nature, we must put it off. With Christ's help, we can overcome and must the world, the flesh, and the devil. We must stay in Christ until our lot or our pilgrimage is over or until death or the rapture comes. Go to Hebrews. I give you many times the same scriptures over and over. People say, well, why don't you come up with, I said, well, you haven't done what I told you. And you can study the Bible yourself. We live in a dark age, and the main emphasis should be warning against evil and how to overcome the dark, deceiving world that's out there, because it's going to get worse. And your knowledge of the Bible, if it doesn't lead to holiness, you should never open that Bible. You'll just answer for more judgment day. Godly teaching, Paul taught, a godly doctrine is to lead to holy living. If it don't, it's just mental assent. It will value nothing spiritually. Will account, all that knowledge won't do nothing for you. Okay? Hebrews chapter 3. Well, we'll go up a little bit to 12 to 14. Beware. Okay, you're being warned. There's a danger. That's what it means. The Bible teaches us, it admonishes, it reproves, we're going to see. It corrects, it rebukes. Yeah. 40% of it is negative, people say. But if you don't listen to it, you won't make it into the kingdom. Okay? Beware. It means there's a sign there. Something, there's a danger. So let's find out what it is. Brethren, he's speaking to the Christian, lest there be in any of you, you Christian, an evil heart. Now, what would that evil heart be? Of disobedience, unbelief, in departing from the living God. Now, that sort of counts as once saved, always saved, doesn't it? It means you can depart from the living God. And yes, he said, if you deny me, I'll deny you. And so you got a line of shepherds out there trying to give people false peace so they can live in their sins. And they're going to be shocked and speechless at the day of judgment when they find out how stupid they were. Okay. But for the Christians, he says, exhort one another daily. So if you can talk to Christians in this dark world, if you can fellowship with a true Christian, then you should do that. And exhort means to encourage that person to live right and fight the fight and hold on to the Lord and resist. And we'd encourage each other in this because we're at war. We have a warfare going on. Okay. While it is the day, it means while you can do this. Jesus said, when he was talking about them working for him, he said, the night comes when no man works. That happened under Noah, and that happened under Lot. And it says the last days is going to be like that. They didn't have much work to do because nobody listened. They were all evil. You hold on to what you have. And one of the churches, he said, you have a little strength. Hold on. Philippian church gives a special one. It says, you have endured, and therefore the Lord will not let that wicked hour come upon you as it will the world. So if you're faithful in little, he'll sustain you and keep you from much. And that's what he's talking about when we say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God indirectly will lead us into temptation. He'll let the devil deceive and lead you astray if you're not following him. See, with his own, he sets the standards. He allows, and like he did with Job. And so as long as we follow the Lord, he's not going to allow certain temptations to come upon us. But if you don't, you're open to many things. And the devil has many weapons he can use, and he brings down many, okay? But exhort one another while it's today, lest any of you be hardened. That means toward the word of God and God through the deceitfulness of sin. So that's why when people sin and keep practicing it, they can't comprehend the truth. The people that John the Baptist taught and had them all repent, the common people, they recognized Jesus when he came because there was no basic sin. They kept the law. But the Pharisees never as a whole accepted Jesus because they were wicked hypocrites and the Father hid it from them. And they were brilliant, intellectual. And they knew parts of the law but they could not see Christ because the Father did not give them understanding. See, it's a spiritual thing. And Paul in Ephesians, he prays that God give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding. So it's not automatic. It's something spiritual that God doesn't give the wicked people. That's why brilliant people that you've heard of are false teachers. Oh, they're famous, and everybody knows. And yet you see they teach things that you say, even a child could look at this and see it's not true, but they can't. They're being blinded. And the way of the righteous is made plain. See, we can discern these things. All Christians walk in the Spirit, start to grow and discern what is spiritual. The wicked cannot because God's not helping them until they repent. Okay? So the deceitfulness of sin deceives many. They play with the sin and they think they're getting away with it. I knew evangelists that were backslidden and living in adultery, and they still preached the gospel, and people sometimes got saved. Because God honors his word. He can work on the person's side and use the foolish backslidden evangelist, but he gets no reward. He's going to be punished for being a hypocrite. And see, that's how it works. So sin deceives. And these same ministers think that God is somehow letting them get away with something because they're winning souls. They think they're getting away with something. See, the sin deceives them. They're not getting away with nothing. See, the world thinks their good is going to be weighed against their bad. It's not going to happen. They're going to be judged by the Lord's book, not their thinking. And if they don't come to the Lord, all their goodness is wood, hay, and stuff. Don't mean nothing to God. The sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Don't move him at all, okay? And then the last verse here, it says, for we have become partakers of Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory. When we're born again, when we walk with the Lord, his spirit dwells in our spirit in a different way. God is everywhere, but he's not in fellowship with everybody, okay? If, notice the condition, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So when you came to the Lord, you hold to the principle, you walk with the Lord until the end of your race. You enter the race, you run the race, you finish the race. That's our probation. And if you don't do it, then you'll fall away. You'll depart from the Lord. And many people have departed from the Lord, and they don't know it. They still think they're Christians. They're deceived. And they'll talk to you. Oh, praise the Lord for this, and I love the Lord. Well, like my boss did years ago. He told me, well, he loved the Lord. He brought up religion. And I just happened to say, well, I don't think that's true. And oh, he got indignant. He said, you don't know my heart. I said, well, I'm sorry, sir, I do. You just told me you'll have an affair on your wife. And the scripture says, if you walk in darkness and say you love God, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. He looked at me and walked away. He didn't know what to do. See, he had an affection, a feeling for God. But John makes it very plain. The love of God is to keep his commandment. So if you live in adultery and fornication, you're a liar. You can't love God. He says, you're not mine. That disturbs people. See, because they have feeling. They feel good when they sing in church. And then they go home and live like they want to. God is not fooled by this. So the Lord will give more grace if we abide and walk in what he gives us. He's given us our lot. And our lot is to stay with Christ to the end. Okay, that's our whole thing. Is to come to the Lord, stay with the Lord, and finish with the Lord. And what does the word lot mean? I looked at it one time, and the closest meaning is what God has given you. So that means in providence or your station, God's permitted you to have that, directly or indirectly. That's why Paul did not encourage Christian slaves to rebel and run away or anything. He said, that's God's lot for you. He said, you're to obey your masters as you would obey the Lord. Well, that don't go over too well in independent countries, does it? But that's what God said. See, he arranges. And if he wants a person out of a certain state, he can move providence. And if he wants you in that state to live it, then you're supposed to stay there. Don't try to plant yourself if God's not trying to plant you. Okay? So even when people came to the Lord, Paul said, abide in the calling where you were when the Lord came. So in general, you start where he calls you and you don't proceed to get out of it because you belong to him now and you're his slave. He has control over what he wants. So many people think when they come to the Lord, and that's the false doctrines today, faith and prosperity, God's going to give you everything you want. That's finding your life. And Jesus said, he that finds his life will lose it eternally. So a lot of this faith prosperity is a bunch of garbage. It's a spirit of covetousness, and it's idolatry. It's not from God, okay? So people don't like to hear that. Okay, verse 13. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Even Jesus said, and people don't like that, and I've heard ministers dance around it, but when the scribes and Pharisees were offended by what Jesus told them, well, of course they were. They were called religious hypocrites and snakes and liars and false. You wouldn't like that either, would you? And they were the religious people of the time, and that's how Jesus talked to them because of the hypocrisy in them. He didn't talk that way to the common sinner. It was the religious hypocrites he talked to that way, and deceived and being deceived. And so Peter, one of the disciples, said, do you know, Master, you've offended them? And he said, leave them alone. What does that mean? It means don't have enough to do with it. Don't proceed to try to correct them. He said, for if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the pit. So he's saying the false teacher and the ones that follow them are going to fall in the pit. And he said, leave them alone. You were not, when they resist the truth and fight against it, you're not to cast pearls before swine. You're not to waste time with them. God doesn't. You leave them alone. And he said, and the blind, the teacher, and the followers. In the book of Revelation, they were teaching in one of the church areas. The Nicolaitans were teaching false teachings. It was common, still is. You could say once saved, always saved is a part of it. Ultra-Calvinism and stuff. No, what it said was, when you're saved, like many Calvinistic teach, your spirit's saved and it can never be unsaved or sin. That's what they were saying. So you can take your soul and body and do what you want with it. You can use it for sin. Because you're saved. And God saved you forever by his grace. And you'll just lose a few rewards. That's a doctrine of demons. And if you believe that, you're going to hell. You're going to lake fire eventually. And he said, it's not true. And what was Jesus? Not only did he reprove them, he said, I hate that teaching and I'll destroy her children, his children. Who's the children? The followers of that teaching. The greasy grace, once saved, always saved, license to sin people. He said, I'll destroy them. That word means in hell, is spiritually destroy them, is the lake of fire, eternal death. That's what it means. So he said, I hate them. He didn't say, I feel sorry for them. No, but he warned them. If you don't repent, that's what your end's going to be. Okay? Well, people don't like that now, do they? So they're going to get worse and worse as the days of Noah and Lot, we're entering that. I can tell a difference in the 55 years I've been a Christian, came to the Lord in my mid-teens, back in the 60s and 70s, you had more true religion on the airwaves. You can rarely find anything that sound anymore. It's getting darker and darker, okay? So wicked men and false Christian teachings will go from corruption to deeper corruption, and we'll have these mega ministers, the mega churches, lying and deceiving people, and many will follow their way, the scripture says, but they're not of the Lord. Let's go real quickly to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2, 1, 1 and 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. They will be cut off from the vine, true Christians. They'll be lost their salvation. That's what that means. And many will follow their destructive ways, because the way of truth will be blasphemed. And I just add the other scripture. And by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive work. A lot of the prosperity teachers, they're teaching covetousness, materialism, and telling you it's from the Lord. Their end will be destruction. Okay? So there will be real Christians. You hear people say, well, if you're a real Christian, you wouldn't fall away. That's garbage, and it's not scriptural, okay? And there's too many scriptures teach against it. There will be real Christians falling to demonic control, false teachers. They will die spiritually. They will be cut off from Christ, cut off from grace, as they don't bear fruit, and they don't continue with Christ. So once saved, now lost. A falling away from true Christianity. Many of them pervert that. Well, it don't mean true Christianity. It means professing Christians and denominations. That's not true. When it uses the word of faith, it's talking about true Christianity. We have other scriptures that talk about the false and the professors. No, it's true Christians will fall away during these dark times, and we have to be careful. Lord, give us wisdom and understanding to accept the truth and believe the truth and not be deceived. In Jesus' name, amen.